Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another fine day you made for us. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to come together tonight to worship you and to talk about you, Lord, and the things that you've got for us. Lord, we thank you for this new creation you've given us, allowed him to come down here and spend some time with us. We thank you for Elisha, Lord. Bless his, Lord, bless him and Anna and Matt, Obadiah, and Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you. He's going to be a healthy baby boy and not going to be any problems whatsoever in his or Obadiah's life or mom and dad's life in Jesus' name, because they know you, Lord, and they have faith. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we just ask and we pray that tonight you be with us, guide us, lead us. Show us what you want us to talk about, Lord. Show us what you want us to pray about. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? Oh, excuse me. Anything? Got any prayer requests? Hey, Pat. Andrew, Joe. How about testimony? Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I've got a couple prayer requests. My mom is flying in this Saturday. So I want to pray for that. And I want to pray for a co-worker's son. She told me the other day that her son has some kind of heart failure. He's 21 years old, and he had a heart transplant at 2 years old.
Oh, my.
So I just want to pray for that.
Is she a believer? Is she a believer?
She's a Christian. I don't know if she really, believes in same we do, but.
Okay.
So, Lord, I just lift up my mom to you, Father, that you'll be with her on all her flights over here, Lord, that your perfect timing will be applied there and your perfect will throughout all of it, Lord. And just keep her safe through all of it, Lord. And just bless her time while she's down here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I lift up that coworker's son to you. I forget his name. He does work at my work. But, Lord, I just pray that you would work in his life, that you would reveal yourself to him. He doesn't know you. Lord, I just pray that you would heal that heart up so that he wouldn't need another transplant, that whatever's causing it to decay or stop working properly, Lord, we just come against that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I just pray you save his mother if she isn't saved, Lord, and just bring peace to her. She was really torn up about it, he told me. And, I just pray that you put your supernatural peace upon her, Lord, that you have him in your hands, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You mind if I pray for him?
Go ahead.
Okay. Lord, I lift up this young man to you. And I break the power right now of Satan over this boy's life. In Jesus' name. And Lord, if he's not yours, I call him into the kingdom right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him and bringing him into the truth of the gospel, that he doesn't have to be under this curse. And Lord, I thank you for it. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that heart of his to start beating like it's supposed to start running throughout his veins like it's supposed to. I command the lungs to put oxygen in it. And I command every organ in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask and I pray that you place it upon his mom's heart to ask for prayer. And then when she asked for prayer, that Matthew would be able to give her the real good news of Mark 11 and 24, John 14 and 14, all of Matthew 18 and 18, all of those great promises, Lord, that you've given us in your word. And I thank you for it, Father, that this boy's life is renewed because of the prayers of your saints, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name, that you'll get the glory, Lord, not man. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. I believe it.
Michael?
Yes.
I'd like to pray for Matt's mom. Lord, I just pray that when she goes on this, wherever she goes to come here, that you would be her, you will go before her, you will be in the midst of her, and you will be her rear guard, and you would also surround her with that hedge of protection, that no evil will befall her, nor any plague come nigh her dwelling, when she comes down here and when she goes back, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Marilyn.
Psalm 91.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
And I just wanted to pray also for just a minute here for this young man. We break the power of all the curses that have been spoken over him through the medical people. We cast all those curses down and off of him. We command the spirit of death off of him. And Lord, I am, what you were speaking to my heart is, you could have taken him when he was 2 years old, but you didn't. You allowed him to live. If you had taken him when he was 2 years old, he would be in heaven with you right now. But Lord, in your great wisdom and your great mercy, you didn't do that. And I'm believing that you have a really good testimony here, that you have allowed this young man to live for a reason, and that you're just bringing him, just snatch him quickly into the kingdom. We pray the power of the Holy Spirit drawing him even right now, and that it's going to be to your glory, Father. We thank you that this young man is alive and you're going to keep him alive. And I thank you, Lord, that he's a new creation in Christ and he has a brand new heart. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Okay. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Leon, I'm sorry.
I talked to my sister-in-law last night. She lives in Tennessee, but away from where we're at. Anyway, her son is, she was married to my brother, Larry, who died in 16, just before I moved up here. But she had a son before she was married to my brother. And I think he's about, I don't know, in his late 30s, but he's got heart problems as well. And they're trying to figure out if he can have some surgery or not. So she asked me last night to pray for him, and I said I would get with a group on here and pray for him. That he's not a Christian, and she's been trying to witness to him, but he's resisting. So maybe this would be the catalyst that would bring him to the Lord, and I shared with her a couple of the healings that we had at the meeting the other night. Tiambi had that swelling that went down, and I had something that happened, and it was just in a couple of minutes. Oh, that, or I had an aura in my vision. I could see straight, but there was an aura around my vision. So That happened in just a couple of minutes. We prayed for that and it went away. And there was another healing I can't remember, but anyway, I told her about those miracles, and so she asked me to pray about it. And so, Lord, his name is Greg. So, Lord, I lift up Greg to you, and I pray that he would come to know you and be in submission to you, Lord, and have the New Testament as his guideline. And he could be healed by the blood of Jesus, and he could gain all those promises that you give and the scriptures behind them, Lord, and he could have his heart healed instead of going through the surgery. And I pray that he would succumb to that and call on your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it.
It probably helps a lot better if I'd unmute. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break the power of the Satan upon Greg that has kept him from the gospel right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to, the Lord of Harvest, I pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody around and he listen to you. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that this would be, as Leon said, the catalyst to bring him closer to you, not only closer, Lord, but let him run after you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he's healed too in the name of Jesus. We command that heart to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we pray that he have a heart of repentance.
Amen.
That would be healed. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Testimony or praise report? Yeah, Matt.
Okay. As all of you mostly seen, my praise report and testimony about 11 o'clock Sunday evening. Here, my wife came and woke me up, said her water broke. So I was like, okay, but she wasn't in labor, so I couldn't go back to sleep. So just had about hour and a half of sleep, and then probably what, an hour later, she started going into labor. And okay, so we started doing that, and then about three and a half hours later, we called the midwife, and she came with her assistant, and she was starting to have more intense labor, and then at 6:38 in the morning, Elisha Matthias was born. And there's a couple of testimonies in that. When he came out, he wasn't breathing. But they got him to breathe. Didn't take very long. So praise the Lord. There was nothing there. And after that, after giving birth to Obadiah and all the rest of that stuff. Hannah had a problem where she was bleeding a lot still. And the uterus wouldn't shrink down, you know, to stop the bleeding. And so the midwife was getting worried a lot because she was bleeding a lot. And so they finally put her, they gave her some medicine to help the uterus shrink down, but it wasn't shrinking down. And then they gave her an IV with some more medicine inside that to help the uterus shrink down. And that started working eventually, but I called up David Of course, we prayed and agreed that the bleeding would stop and the uterus would conform to what we need it to be. And about maybe 15, 20 minutes later, it started, bleeding started getting less and less, and the uterus started shrinking until they finally took out the IV, and they were finally satisfied enough to leave. So just a praise report there for the Lord keeping watch over my family and bringing us a wonderful bundle of joy, and just blessing Anna, because you saw her, she's up moving around, she's feeling really good today. So just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over our family. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for mama and baby. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And let Obadiah be the best big brother he could have. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, okay. That's awesome.
Michael?
Yes. Yeah, Judy.
I just want to praise the Lord today. I walked more than I've ever walked. I mean, since I fell. And I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I can do all things through Jesus Christ strengthens me.
And I'm going to do
better each day. And he's bringing me there. So I just want to praise him for all that.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. So just keep it up. You're healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You got a good buddy there to help you. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Malcolm, how's it going?
Beyond belief.
You all know that's right.
No, not beyond belief. No, absolutely not. I believe.
All right.
I correct myself.
Okay. Well, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share before we get into the book? Now, remember, I will say this. Now, remember, I believe this is, Thursday night is our last Thursday night. It's a worship night. Remember what we said about the songs. Let them make sure that they're all biblical based, you know, and then we'll try that. See how that works. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick prayer for my sister, Shelley. I've still been talking with her, and she's emailing me back and forth, and we've been talking quite a bit. And she just needs prayer to sort out the truth from the darkness. She's got a lot of various different things in her mind related to the scripture and God and the whole thing. So it's kind of, she just needs light and to anchor down on truth and the word. And I just ask for prayer for her as well as prayer for me to be sensitive to the spirit, to know what to give her and where to, what scriptures to lead her to and whatnot. Also a prayer for a friend of mine that she has just been diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 2 breast cancer. And so I just want to pray for her healing and next steps. And if I should give her some information of I was going to forward over to her that message that you read on Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday night? Sunday night, Michael, about Betty Baxter, and to send that over. Oh, doggone it. Listen, let me bail here. I'll have to catch it in a minute. All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Well, let's see. Lord, we lift up Pat's sister to you. Lord, we ask that you open up her spiritual eyes to see the truth of the gospel. We break the power of the religious spirit off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for opening her eyes up. And Lord, I don't know. To me, the book to give her would be Sovereign God. That's the one that brings us all into that knowledge that God is sovereign. He could do anything. And Lord, I ask and I pray that she gets that in her hands in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I don't remember what else we wanted to pray for. Y'all, anybody remember? Yeah, Tim.
He wanted us to pray for his friend that's had the stage 2 breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Just found out about
it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we lift up his friend of Pat's who just found out she had breast cancer. And we come against that cancer in the name of Jesus. We break its power off of her, command it to go from her, command the spirit of cancer off of her, command the spirit of the fear of cancer off of her. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you open up her spiritual eyes and ears to hear the truth of the gospel so that she could know that to give the glory to you, Father, in her healing. And we thank you for it, Father. Bless this lady, Lord, with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
My sister-in-law's father, my sister-in-law Doralee, her father Bill, he's in the hospital. They live in Florida with Doralee's sister Cherry. Her mom and dad live there, and he's in the hospital in the ICU with pneumonia. And I like to pray for him, and y'all agree with me, Father. He's up there pretty good, Lord. You know, he's in his 80s, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, that if this is his time, Lord, that you would just work in his heart that he would be right with you and that he would go to be with you, Lord. I know they claim to be Christians. And so, Father, I just ask you to do that, Lord. And Lord, if it's not his time, Lord, that you, I just would command healing upon him in the name of Jesus, and that he would get out of the hospital soon in Jesus' name. I thank you for doing that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that if that man is not saved, we ask that you send somebody there to give him the gospel, the true gospel. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody right now to him if he's not saved, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, anyone else? Pat, did you have something else that you wanted to?
I don't know. I missed out.
Well, we prayed for your sister, and then we prayed for the lady that had the breast cancer.
Her name is Patty, and and also just direction whether or not I should. She is part of a church. I would say that. Is kind of your traditional mainstream Methodist type of believing environment. So I'm not sure how much she knows of or believes in healing, the healing that's in the Word. So yeah. It would just, I would ask for wisdom as far as how much and where and present anything to her or how I should go about doing that. So I just appreciate some wisdom and some faith and whatnot for that as well. So,
you know, the founders of the Methodist Church believed in healing. They believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, John and Charles Wesley.
Yep. Yep, and that soon went south, didn't it?
Well, it is now for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that might be a way to get your foot in the door, you know, just tell them a little bit about John Wesley.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Pat is on, but 4 or 5 years ago, David did some teaching on the relationship between breast cancer and unforgiveness. There's quite a correlation there. We had a lady at work, or a husband, but she was uncurable, and they went all over the country trying to get her cured. When she was able to forgive, she was healed. The Lord healed her. So that's a biggie. I've seen that in other cases. But unforgiveness seems to be a real tie into why, but it is. That might be a place where you could go with that.
Yeah, that's true in all cancers. You know, that's a lot of unforgiveness in cancer. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Pat, I've shared this, I think, a couple times, not too long ago. Through Henry W. Wright's A Better Way to Be in Health or something to that effect, he writes in his book that when women have breast cancer, it's because of unforgiveness towards another woman. And depending on which side it is, it depends on whether it's unforgiveness towards a blood member of the family or just another female, period. So just pray about that, and if the Lord leads you to ask her about that.
Okay, I appreciate that. I will pray about that for sure.
Okay, go ahead. Malcolm,
I realized I was unmuted all this time, and then I went to unmute myself to make a comment, and I was already unmuted. I muted myself. I just wanted to say, yeah, if you look up the history of the Methodists back in the 1800s, certainly in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, they had what they call the shouting Methodists, and those guys were pretty bombastic. In fact, in one court case called the Israel Damien trial in February of 1845, they had a whole trial of these guys, actually of the owner of the house, that they were trying to get him on vagrancy charges, and they had something like, I don't know, it must have been 30, 40, 50 witnesses, but what they described in the trial was total chaos. It was crazy. Anyway, it's quite an interesting history. Obviously, they've calmed down a little bit since then. But I don't know when was Charleston when did they come along? Was that back in, forgive my ignorance here.
Well, they were the ones that started the Methodist Church themselves.
Was that,
they started,
was that in the 1700s or the 1670s?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a long time ago.
I don't remember much from those days.
Well, they were the ones that also had the circuit riders, you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'd go around on horseback. And
yep.
That's go from how a lot of these churches got going.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of those ministers were Holy Spirit filled. That was back in the 1800s. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, it says that John Wesley was an English cleric. Wesley was elected a fellow of Lincoln College, Oxford, in 1726 and ordained as an Anglican priest 2 years later. He led the Holy Club, a society formed for the purpose of studying and the pursuit of a devout Christian life. It had been founded by his brother Charles and counted George Whitfield among its members. So let's see, Moravian, 1738, he experienced what has come to be called his evangelical conversion, which he felt his heart strangely warmed, period. He subsequently left the Moravians, beginning his own ministry, etc., etc. So it looks like he started the Wesleyan ministry, you know, 1740s, 1750s, somewhere around in there.
Yeah, who was it? It was David Wilkerson was talking about him one time, said the only thing he left was a wallet that had just a few dollars in it, very few dollars, and I forget how many it was. And then he said, you know, he was real poor when he died. But he said, oh, wait a minute, I forgot. He also left the Methodist Church. But he had millions and millions of dollars go through his hands working for the poor people and stuff. So he was a fantastic preacher, actually. Him and his brother both were. Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah, Leonard Ravenhill is the one that said that.
Okay, Leonard Ravenhill. Well, yeah, Leonard David, what a, you know.
he's the one that said, oh, and then he left the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
He's quite a sense of humor, you know.
He was.
I love him.
Yeah, I did too. I liked him. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I guess we can get started on God's vaccine. I guess I know where we left off. I think I got it marked. Is it on page 6? Okay. Deny the flesh part. That's what I got marked. Okay. On page 6, deny the flesh. This is God. Lord, be with us tonight. Show us these things that you want us to talk about. Let them be a revelation to all of us, Lord, that we can walk around and not have to worry about anything because we have your vaccine. And that's Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for it. So here we go. So the Lord says that all we need is the unleavened bread. But the old man of the flesh just wants more flesh. And the flesh can't protect anybody from the curse. Well, the Israelites in the wilderness murmured against the Lord's plan for them. Numbers 11 and 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all save this manna to look upon. They had gotten sick of manna. It was certainly keeping them alive and keeping them healthy, but their flesh lusted for something more than the manna. God was saying, no, this is all you need. And they were complaining. We want some more. We want what we had back in Egypt. Numbers 11 and 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt for naught, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all save this manna to look upon. And the manna was like coriander seed, and the appearance thereof as the appearance of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals or beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. They probably cooked the manna in every kind of way you can imagine that you could make manna. The transliteration of the Hebrew word manna, by the way, is man. And Jesus said in John 6:33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life unto the world. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus is the Word made flesh, John 11, 1 and 14. Numbers 11, 10 says, and Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses was displeased. Moses didn't know what to do, and he cried out to the Lord, whence should I give flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. Then the Lord told Moses, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? David says, he said they rejected the Lord, because when they rejected the manna, they rejected Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, in Exodus 16 and 4, Psalm 105:40, John 6:51, et cetera, et cetera. They rejected the bread that had no leaven of the Pharisees and no leaven of Herod, Mark 8 and 15. They didn't want the unleavened bread. Instead, they wanted to partake of flesh. And if you remember, that's why Esau sold his birthright in Hebrews 12 and 16. Or birthright, Hebrews 12 and 16, or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat, that's obviously the flesh in type, he sold out to the flesh, sold his own birthright. Well, that's a type here too. The Israelites were doing the same thing. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp and about 2 cubits above the face of the earth. That's a lot of quail. And to blow them in from the sea by a wind across the wilderness to bring them there is just amazing. Nothing can stop God from providing for us, but we don't want to depart from the type that he's given us here, which is the flesh. The Israelites wanted flesh, so he told him, therefore the Lord will give you flesh and you shall eat until it comes out your nostrils and it will be loathsome to you. Numbers 11 and 32. And the people rose up all that day and all the night and all the next day and gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Now we see who was not protected from the plague. It was those who partook of a fleshly word. The manna represented the true word, but they wanted their word to be leavened by the flesh so it would let the old man live. They wanted a word that pleased their flesh. And of course, God is not angry with people eating quail. The parable here is that it's death to depart from the pure word of God. Anything added by man, whether through dead religion or whether by patriotism toward any government, is adding things of man to make the unleavened bread more acceptable to the flesh. We're not to trust any of these things. Everybody in every religion, when Jesus came the first time, had to come out from among them to follow him. John chapter 10 and verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he hath put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They had to depart from the leaven, totally depart from the leaven, to walk after the lamb. In this case, God was angry because they were lusting after flesh. They wanted a word that would please their flesh. And the text goes on to prove that. Numbers 11:33. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And the name of that place was called Gibroth Hattaavah. And the Hebrew there means the graves of lust. And what's going to happen to those people who lust after the flesh? The plague will be on them. They will not be able to escape it. But the Lord said that if you eat his lamb, if you eat his unleavened bread, there will be a Passover. He will not permit the destroyer to come into your home to destroy you. He says the opposite here. He says that those who lust after the flesh will not escape the wrath of God. Numbers 11:34. And the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because where there they buried the people that lusted. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people journeyed into Hazeroth, and they abode at Hazeroth. So there's the parable, and that's what the Lord wanted us to see. He is a mighty God, a mighty Savior, but he wants us to eat what's good for us. What can you do about the plagues that are coming? You need to eat the lamb. So there'll be a Passover of the destroyer for you, and to eat the lamb is to accept only what God says. Romans 4:5, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. I'm sorry. God will accept you as being righteous if you will just repent of believing anything but his word. Through numerics, God put hidden patterns in the Bible so that we can prove the Bible is actually his word. But we can't prove anything that men say the Lord has spoken. Nothing. Uh-oh, excuse me. Their opinions are worthless to God, and their opinions are worthless to bring forth Christ in us. Only his bread can bring forth Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians 1:27, because he is the word. He's not man's word. He's God's word. So we accept only God's word. And since faith is accounted as righteousness, until righteousness is manifested, God will accept you. When you've repented and turned away from men and their doctrines, you turn to him in your faith, God accounts you as righteous. Praise God. If you're accounted as righteous, then you have a blood covering. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, the light is the unleavened bread. It's partaking of the lamb. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus. His son cleanses us from all sin. And of course, sin is unrighteousness. And if you have a blood covering, then there's no curse on you. Psalms 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? That's a big paragraph there, so there ought to be some questions or some comments anyway. This smart bunch. This bunch is smart. I'm telling you, they smart. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody got that, huh? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
The part there about Esau, it's also says right next to that verse that that's it was labeled as fornication. So that's what actually, if you use that reference, that's what actually the Israelites were doing. Is they it says that in the Hebrews part there, but profane person as Esau for one mess of meat. It calls him a fornicator there. And it also relates to what it says in one of the churches of Revelation, that they eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So I always wondered what that meant, because I was pretty sure that the church wasn't actually physically fornicating there in that one church. But you know, they thought little of their birthright, and thought little of God, of course. So that's what Esau did. So you know, I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. How can we apply that spiritually speaking?
Well, it was a vanity that they wanted, and God was not pleased with it, and even Moses wasn't. So they should have saw that in Moses, and because he would have perhaps even physically shown it on his face that this displeased him. So they should have known something was going down there anyway. That's what I think.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else got a comment about this big paragraph we just read? We can't accept another Jesus, can we? God doesn't want us to accept another Jesus. He gave us the pure manna to eat. That's what he wants us to eat, is the pure manna of the word. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Okay, judgment for rebellion. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. A little later,
Michael,
on.
What page are you on?
Nine.
Nine, thank you.
Yeah, it's nine that I sent out. It's not nine PDF. I don't know what page it is on in the PDF
thing. 21 PDF.
21, okay. A judgment for rebellion is the subtitle. All right, a little later on, even though God, through Moses, oh, by the way, before I forget it, I sent out that Lulu has the book, God's Vaccine, on in there now, and you can get a 15% off if you have subscribed to Lulu. Okay? God's Vaccine is on Lulu now. I think it's $5 or $6 plus shipping. Okay, y'all do know that we don't get anything for that. We don't get anything. That's as slow as we can get it without, and we don't take a nickel for it. Okay. A little later on, even though God, through Moses, had already judged the Israelites once, there was a rebellion in the camp by Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So God sent an earthquake to prove that Moses was the true leadership, and that these people were usurpers, apostates, who didn't have the true unleavened bread. In the days ahead, we're going to see that this plague is going to take out a bunch of the leadership in the apostate church. I believe that. Numbers 16 and 31, and it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their good. So they and all that are appertained to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the assembly. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. And fire came forth from the Lord and devoured the 250 men that offered the incense. Then these self-deceived people blamed Moses for the earthquake, as if Moses could crack the earth open and swallow them up. They had completely lost all common sense. Well, yeah, number 16 and 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, you know, that's the same thing that happens to people who get dreams from God. They want to blame the messenger rather than blaming God, you know. That's what happens a lot of times. They blame the person rather than going to God. You have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was assembled against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tent of meeting. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Well, God had had enough. When plagues come and wipe out a lot of God's people, as happened in quite a few places in scriptures, like in Genesis 7, 21 through 23, 19, 24 through 25, 1 Chronicles 21 and 14, Lamentations 4 and 6, etc., it was because God had had enough. Does he ever get that away today? Yes, he does. He's very merciful, and he's very long-suffering, as the Bible says. But there comes a time when people have counted on his long-suffering and have found it was not there anymore. You see, God has to do something when people are in willful rebellion, and yet they think they're going to heaven. God has to come and make a clear separation between what's flesh and what's manna. He has to make that separation, and he usually has to punctuate it with a judgment of some kind. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any comments on this? How God gets his people's attention is through plagues and disasters and such. And I believe when the man-child gets the anointing, that he's going to be putting judgments on. Instructed through God, you know. Number 16 and 45, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take thy censer and put fire therein from off the altar and lay incense thereon and carry it quickly unto the congregation and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Well, I submit to you at this particular time in history that the plague has begun and is coming forth now. It's a time for God's people to separate from the apostasy and the leaven of the Pharisees and get themselves in a position where God will defend them. And I believe that the incense here, as most people believe, is intercessory prayer. I will say this, God told us not to pray against this plague that's coming. But he did say you could pray that God lessens it. And that's what we do. We pray that God lessens this plague. James 5 and 16. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Number 16, 47. And Aaron took as Moses spake and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. The root verb of the Hebrew name Aaron means to be light, or to give light, or to shine. And we learned earlier that walking in the light is the same as walking under the blood of the Lamb, of the covering, so to speak. We also learned that you have the covering only if you're partaking of the Lamb, only if you're exercising faith in what he accomplished for you at the cross. He took away your sins, and he took away your curse at the cross. And if you believe that or not walking in willful disobedience, then you have the blood covering. The covering is for those who believe the full gospel, not bits and pieces of it. Most of the church doesn't have that covering. They would be wiped out in a plague because they don't believe that the Lamb bore the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's one way to be preserved through a plague. You believe the full gospel, not a half gospel, as most churches out there do. You believe the full gospel that Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, Hebrews 2:17, 3:1-5, not only delivered you from the sin, but he delivered you from the curse of the sin. And if you don't believe that, you're not entitled to escape plagues. By the way, the Hebrew word naga, translated plague, just means an affliction, a stroke. It doesn't necessarily always mean a disease. So here we see that their high priest Aaron, whose name means light, ran out between the living and the dead, and that was a dangerous thing to do, but he knew he was safe. God's true people who walk in the light know that. They know they're safe from any plague, but the rest don't know that. The rest don't have that cleansed conscience because of the promises of the Word. They're too busy playing church to have time to get in the Word for themselves and find out what it really says. Well, that can be a deadly mistake. Yes, it can. It can be a real deadly mistake. Number 1649. Now, they that died by the plague were 14,700. Now, that's how many died before Aaron could take that incense down through there. Besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. And the plague stopped right there. Aaron took that incense and put it in his censer, and he went out there and it stayed the plague. He made atonement, or at-one-ment. If we just break down the spelling, he made the people one with God. Aaron could do that because of what he represented. He represented the light. He represented a man who walked in light. He was enlightened and lighted. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Couple pages back or so, where David said something about the plague has begun, you know. Mm-hmm. And what came to my mind was, I don't know if I shared it with you all, know you know about it. I believe it was January 15th. I was waking up in the morning, of half awake, half asleep, you know. And this tune kept going in my head, words over and over and over. I couldn't even tell you what the tune was anymore, but I remembered the words and what it was, and it was an upbeat tune, you know, which was kind of weird. But what the words were is, the plague is here. That's all it was, over and over, the plague is here. And it's to some tune. And I asked the Lord for verses to go with that. And I got Ezekiel 36 there about revival. And then another place is Ezekiel 47 about the inheritance and double portions of Joseph. And then Psalm 65 I got was 65 verse 9 was let me read it here because it's thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest them grain when thou hast prepared the earth. Anyway, I see that as the anointing there, the latter rain. But yeah, I was thinking about that today. I had forgotten about it until I ran across the email that I sent to David telling him that I had that. I was like, gosh, I can't believe I forgot that. But anyway, And I was thinking about, well, why was it this upbeat tune, you know? I think for one, why he gave that to me in a tune for one was for me to realize that it wasn't just something that was in my carnal mind, that it was the Lord that he gave it to me in a tune. And why was it in an upbeat tune, you know? Well, it's like because he wants me to know that there's nothing to fear, you know. You know, if you have something upbeat, you know, it's, you know, that's just what came to me. So so that was just kind of strange that the Lord did that, you know, that way. But his ways are not our ways, are they?
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's good. I remember when you said that, when you had that. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, the last two words, he was enlightened and lighted. So that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's not that verse I told you the other time there, Michael, but it's talking about the light there a lot in that chapter. So yeah, just as a reminder, that's a good reference there for the people of light, the people of the day and not of the night.
Which one, what verse is it?
Well, it's pretty much written throughout the whole, like there's in several verses here. About
you said 1 Corinthians chapter
5.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse,
Yeah. Here's of 5. For ye are all sons of light and sons of the day and not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as the rest, but let us watch and be sober. You know, and It also makes a reference of the night there, the thief at the night. We were warned of what's coming. It's not going to overtake us as a thief.
Mm-hmm. That's in 2 Corinthians, right?
No, 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Oh.
1 Thessalonians, sorry.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble here.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's, I don't know why I was thinking Corinthians. So it's 5 and 5, and then there's...
Okay. For you are all two, sons of light.
5 and 2, that we were warned by God of this coming, and we're not going to be overtaken by a thief, because thieves come at night, and we're we're a child of the day, and
amen.
So night and day's mentioned a few times there, and light and darkness. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Any questions? Okay. Confess your sins. James 5:14 says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. We can see the same two things here, repentance and faith. Confess your sins, and that's a very good thing to do. Many people just want to have faith, but I say confess your sins and then believe. It also says the supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And that's just what we saw with Aaron. And I submit to you that these people didn't deserve deliverance from this plague. And the fact was, it was wiping them out, but a righteous man stood in the midst and he offered his incense, his prayer. And God stopped right there. He wasn't going to go over that righteous man because he wasn't under the plague. He wasn't going to go through that righteous man because he wasn't under the plague. Aaron stood in the gap. He made up the hedge in Ezekiel 22:30. And God honored his act of faith, and the plague was stayed at only 14,700. Only? Beside those. That sounds like a pretty good lot there. Besides those who were wiped out in the Korah, Bathan, and Abiram rebellion. Has anybody got any questions on this? Confess your sins, then believe. Once you confess your sins, faith is no problem. Go ahead, Denny.
I was just thinking of our place of intercession, of, you know, being ones who, in a sense, take that incense and take it among the people, you know, that's going to be a ministry we have in all of this. So thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. You know, as I was reading this, I'm always reminded of that story of John G. Lake and bubonic plague, you know. When they asked him, said, why aren't you protected? What is it that keeps you protected? He said it was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what we have, right? We have, yeah, Denny.
And review that story about him putting the stuff on his hand and all that, John G. Lake.
Oh, you wanna, yeah.
You want to review that?
Well, they asked him how he could do that. Him and this other man were out there taking dead bodies and getting rid of them. Wasn't getting infected, and the missionary or the medical people that came in there saw that they wasn't covered or anything, didn't have any gloves on or any of that good stuff, you know. They said, how are you protected? And he told him, he quoted Romans 8:2. And then he told him, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, go get you some off of a dead guy. Get you some spit that has that disease in it. Get your microscope. Bring it over here. And then I'm going to let you put it in my hand and watch what happens when you put that disease in my hand under the microscope. And they did. And they put a fresh thing first. They showed it under the microscope. It was living organisms. This bubonic plague was just crawling with, this spit was just crawling with it. And then they poured it in his hand, and as it hit his hand, the germs died right then. Soon as it touched his hands, it died. And that's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're not, we are not part of this world. We're of the world, but we're not part of it because we have Christ inside of us. When you've got Christ inside of us, you've got protection. You got the blessings of heaven, all the blessings of heaven available to you. You don't have to worry about anything. None of that plague is going to... I'll tell you what, I believe that we've already seen some of that coronavirus. And all we do is pray it out, rebuke it. It's as soon as you hear, you feel something in your body that's not right, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And when you do that, it's got to go. It ain't got a choice. It has to go. In these days ahead, it's going to be imperative that you do this and then teach other people how to do it once you start, this thing really kicks up. And it looks like it's fixing to here shortly. Any questions? That's a good story, by the way. You can look it up on any John D. It's online, actually. It's on site. It's on our site. Okay. All right, we can see the same two things here, repentance and faith. Confess your sins, and this is a very good thing to do. Many people just want to have faith, but I say confess your sins and then believe. It also says the supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And that's what we just saw with Aaron. And I submit to you that these people didn't deserve deliverance from this plague. And the fact was, it was wiping them out. But a righteous man stood in the midst, and he offered his incense, his prayer, and God stopped right there. He wasn't going to go over that righteous man because he wasn't under the plague. He wasn't going to go through that righteous man because he wasn't under the plague. Aaron stood in the gap. He made up the hedge, Ezekiel 22 and 30. And God honored his act of faith, and the plague was stayed at only 14:7. Besides those who were wiped out in Kor, Dathan, and Abiram were made. And I read it again just because we can get it in there. Get us here, you know. Understand about it. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And you are righteous. So when you pray for somebody, you got to know that it's going to help them. Standing in the gap, James 5 and 17, Elijah was a man of like passions, that means of like nature, with us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Notice that, yes, we can have faith for ourselves. We can be diligently walking after the Lord, but also God can use us to defend people who are not worthy of deliverance from some plague. He can use us to be an atonement for people who would normally be wiped out. Remember this now. He can use our prayers to save them. So we need to be somebody whom God would respect. And I would say of most people who would have gone out there in the midst of the plague, God would have rolled right over them and taken them out because they were not worthy. They were not light as Aaron was light. 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now the blood covering was certainly upon Aaron. God defended him and the people behind him. He stood in the gap, and they were saved. They were very unworthy, and God had already decided to wipe them out. And so it is with a lot of the church today. There is much rebellion against God. What's God going to do? In some cases, he'll use you to defend people who are quite unworthy. Amen. He'll use some of us to do that, to stay that plague and bring them into the truth. That'll be something that'll be Holy Spirit led, won't it? Amen. 1 Kings 8:37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, who shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward his house? In a way, this is applying plague to the plague of a person's own heart. The Bible says in 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, many times the plague comes because of what's in a person's heart. 1 Kings 8:39 says, Then hear thou in heaven from thy dwelling place and forgive and do and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is saying he will accept prayer for his people. He will accept the righteous prayer of the righteous man, and he will defend and he will deliver because of that. And not necessarily that the people deserve it. If you are the only one in your family that knows the Lord, God can use you to defend your family, the same way Aaron was defending his family here. And it's very important that we who know the Lord walk under the blood, forsake the leaven of the world, and serve the Lord in righteousness so that God will respect our prayers when these times of judgment come around our loved ones. Leviticus 26:13. I am the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt that ye should not be their bondsmen. Folks, we've been set free from bondage, the old man. Romans 6 says twice that he made us free from sin and he delivered us out of the power of darkness. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you go upright. One of the people whom God would judge more than any other are the people who have been set free, but decide of their own free will to serve the flesh and to feed on the flesh. These are the people, Luke 12:48, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. The world doesn't have any freedom. You can expect them to sin because that's their nature. That's what sinners do. Christians, the people who have been given freedom but instead choose to sin, these are the ones to whom God sends judgment. Okay, any questions? Yeah, Phil.
My question's about faith. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the testimony of Betty Baxter, was it?
Yeah.
And after you had finished reading, you had said that a lot of what people have is just hope. It's not faith. And if you have unbelief, you're not under the blood. And what if I just have the hope that and not the faith. All these years.
Well, faith is calling those things that are not as though they were. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18, it tells us that we're to look in the mirror and see Jesus. That's faith. And walk out of there believing that Jesus is leading us. That's faith. As far as our salvation, we're sanctified by faith. That's how God sees us. If we believe we're saved, we're saved. That's faith. That's what he uses, our faith to believe. Now, he wants us to progress in our walk. And we do that by reading and studying the Word of God and doing the things that he tells us to do to produce that fruit in our life. And the fruit he's looking for is Jesus Christ in every one of us. So I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking for, but the Lord told us to repent and believe. Believe what? Believe what the Word says, not what some preacher told us. Anybody else got something they'd like to add? Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, many people make a profession of faith. They remember when they were called. Mm-hmm. You had nothing to do about your calling. It's the Lord who called you. Mm-hmm. And it's the Lord at that point that had to give you some faith to believe that you were called. And it's upon that faith on how you first heard and how you got excited that day and maybe you even realized how evil the world was all around you, that you did get called that day and you have that faith that the Lord gave you that first day. So you knew something back then and you should recall that every time. I don't know if that helps.
Amen. Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay.
Hello, dear brother. I see the Holy Spirit working on your heart. And so praise the Lord. You know, one thing that has helped me is, and I've prayed this for years, just pour your heart out to God because he sees everything and he knows everything anyway. But I was always asking the Lord to give me a heart of unfeigned faith. And it's only really the last few years I've realized that really needs to be balanced with a heart of unfeigned love as well. But I would cry out to the Lord because it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I think some translations say he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. It is a process. And so I would cry out to the Lord. I'd say, you know, Jesus, write the next chapter of faith in my heart. And sometimes he'll take you through some real interesting trials to do that. But he knows what he's doing. And he'll even get you to the point where you can rejoice in the trials and to see that that Father really is working both to will and to do his good pleasure in your life. And, you know, another thing is, do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay. Well, you know, one thing Father's been helping me with a lot is to realize, you know, it says the Holy Spirit is our helper. And the Holy Spirit will help you in this. He will teach you. He will guide you. He convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. He enlightens the eyes of our understanding. He grants unto us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He strengthens us in the inner man so that we can grow into the fullness of the image of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And I know that He wants to. Lord, I just pray for my dear brother here, the comfort and the leading, the teaching, the quickening, the reviving, the maturing, the sanctifying of the Holy Spirit in my dear brother here. And Lord, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, but yet it's the Holy Spirit working in us and with us and for us and through us to do what only He can. And Lord, I believe You have a very good plan for our dear brother here. And we thank You, Lord, that You have drawn him by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To be here. And Father, I just trust and believe that He's got a real heart to walk in unfeigned faith. And Lord, that you're even through tonight, and that you're working that out in him. And he hears the cry of your heart. He hears the cry of your heart even when you don't speak things. The Holy Spirit's always there with you, and Jesus is there, and they've made their abode in your heart, and Father's working both to will and to do his good pleasure in your life, and Jesus still does all things well. He's doing a good work in you. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. I just command any spirits of condemnation and spirits of oppression and failure off of Theo here in Jesus' name. And Lord, just lift him up and fill him up. I pray that for all of us. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Leah.
I would also suggest that you don't believe the lies of the enemy, because that's what he does. He comes to you and lies to you. And tells you that you don't really believe. He tells you that you don't really have the Holy Spirit. He tells you that you don't really have any hope. And that's what he does. That's his major debate with the people, or the major thing he does to people is bring doubt into their heart and doubt into their spirit. And so I would say rebuke that, and even if you don't feel like it, confess it, and continue to confess it, and you'll overcome him that way. If you rebuke the devil, he'll flee from you, you know, and you just gotta hang on to it. I'm sure that all of us have gone through periods like this. Where we didn't know for sure, we were doubtful and so forth. But anymore, if it comes to my mind, I just rebuke it. I said, that's not true. Because your word says, and you believe what the word says, and not what your mind says, or what, you know, what you're hearing or anything like that. So just hang on to what you know is the truth, and let God be true and every man be a liar. So that includes you and me, you know. So let God be true. Just hang on to that with all you can.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Denny.
There I am. Okay. Another thing is in Mark 11:24, it says, all things, and what does that leave out? He says, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask. That's where that's between you and God. Whatsoever ye pray and ask, believe that you have received them. And that's past tense. You have received them, and it shall be, you whatever you ask for shall be granted. And so that's, you have to, it's simply, believing is so simple. It's just that simple. You just have to believe that you've received it already. So it's not like your hope has a place in there, but faith, faith kind of overtakes hope. It's where all of a sudden you have it. It's not you're hoping for, but you have it. You have to believe that you have received it. You asked him for salvation, and you have to believe that you have already received it. It's yours. And then you just rest in that. You rest in that. And then God will manifest it in your life. He'll continue to. So just simply believe. Believe that you have received. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. David's got a good book. It's called Salvation Instant and Progressive. It's online that you can take a look at that. It's a pretty good book. Real good book, actually. One of my favorites. Anybody else? Hey, Stephen and Helen. How y'all doing? Hi, Missy. How you doing?
We're doing fine.
Okay. Praise God. Still cold up there?
Yeah, it's supposed to snow 6 inches tonight or something.
Oh, for goodness sake. Bless y'all's heart. Oh, my. Okay. Let's go on here. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Missy. I thought she was just waving at me. Go ahead.
Theo, have you ever read Sovereign God?
Not completely.
Okay.
Let's well, have a good.
Between that one, you're talking about faith. Between that one and the real good news, they're both really faith builders. Mm-hmm. And especially with the real good news, it teaches you how to act upon faith. Faith without works is dead. So I have a sense that partly of what you're talking about there, that it was my sense, I may be wrong, but I sense that you were thinking, okay, have I really acted on faith? I say it with my mouth, but have I acted it? Yeah, I sense that's what,
That's exactly right.
Praise the Lord. Well, just, speak it, but sometimes you can speak something till you're blue in the face, and you're speaking faith, but you got to make sure you're not taking it back by speaking the opposite of that. Then you can't be double-minded. You can't speak faith 1 minute and then say, oh, but, and then you speak the curse side of it,
Amen.
But just act on it, other than just your words, act it out as best as you can, however the Lord shows you. Like, for instance, okay, I believe I'm healed, but then you go take medicine for a headache or something. I'm just saying, so just wanted to say that. Thank you, Lord, for working in Theo, willing to do of your good pleasure and giving him bold faith and grasping onto that faith, and Lord, just remind him when he reads your word to just speak it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the more of he sees and he hears and he speaks it, the more of his faculties that he uses, the more it's going to get into his heart and into his spirit and be worked out in him. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the great work you're doing in PO. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Let's continue on here. The sin of God's people brings plague. Leviticus 26 and 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that, let me mute you, Missy, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you. Well, God's surely doing that in these days. Even consumption and fever that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sin. David says the main reason plagues come is because of the sins of God's people. Verse 22, and I will send the beast of the field among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your ways shall become desolate. And if by these things you will not be reformed unto me, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary unto you. Then I will smite you even. Well, the Lord wants you to understand that he's the one doing this. It's not the conspiracies of men, not even bad men who made bad vaccines. It's God. Seven times for your sins. That's the end of 24. Seven times for your sin. And then 25, I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. David says it was the curse of the covenant. God's covenant is not only blessing, it's also a curse. God's word is not only blessing, it's also a curse. God said that he will execute vengeance upon the person who will not hearken unto me. And then Leviticus 26 and 25. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you. David says, of course, the most common place for pestilences to come is in cities, because that's where a lot of people are gathered together. It's easy for infections to spread in close quarters. Most of the judgments spoken about in the Bible will come upon cities. As we can see, even from the passage right here, verse 25, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant, and you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. 31, and I will make your cities a waste and will bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies that dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And you will I scatter among the nations, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your cities shall be a waste. Deuteronomy 28 and 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. And that's speaking of your children. And the fruit of thy ground. Many times the curse will fall upon the children of believers who are walking in rebellion. There it is. It's very plain. People will ask, why has this happened to my son? Or why is my daughter having to go through this? Well, that wasn't a judgment on their child. It was a judgment on them. And a child may even be taken away, but it will be a judgment upon the parents, because when a curse comes upon the child, it comes upon the parents. We have to walk with the Lord for our fruit to be blessed. I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any comments on that? Here's what I see God telling us, you know, is that we stay righteous. We stay righteous. We can help a lot of folks. And that doesn't mean today be righteous and tomorrow go back into the world a little bit and then to the next day, you know, off and on. That means all the time, because you never know when you're going to run across something that you're going, God's going to need you, and you may or may not be ready. Remember the virgins, the five virgins? You got to be ready all the time. Let's see what Will says. Will says, it's very important that we who know the Lord walk under the blood, forsake the leaven of the world, serve the Lord in righteousness, so that God will respect our prayers when these times of, that's right, these times of judgment come around our loved ones. Amen. That's just what we've been talking about. Praise God. There ain't nothing more important right now than running after the Lord with all your heart. That's what he wants us to do. All right, Will, go ahead, brother.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're blessed.
I'm so sorry, Michael. I'm not in a space where I can really talk too much. I wanted to finish typing that out, and then I pressed the wrong button by mistake. So sorry about that.
That's
but
okay.
Then it's good. I'll quickly just finish what I wanted to post on the chat. That living in righteousness, if we can maybe, if you think it's a good idea, I'm still, I consider myself still to be quite a baby Christian. If we can just run through what exactly does that entail, you know, being righteous. Because I still make unwilling mistakes, and huge unwilling mistakes every day. And you know, when can one consider oneself to be righteous so it doesn't hinder your faith? You know what I'm saying? All the factors of being righteous. If we can maybe just run through that, I will really appreciate that if you think it's good. Otherwise,
okay, yeah.
Some prayer would be good for me so I understand that better. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to open it up. How are we sanctified, folks? We're sanctified by faith. Remember what Paul said? He said, man, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, da-da-da-da-da, but it's the sin in me that's doing it. And I know that I have a Savior, that's Jesus Christ. I keep my eyes on Jesus. And I'm sanctified by faith. I just believe that God has sanctified me by faith, and I walk in that by keeping my eyes on Jesus. That's just a simple version there. I'm just going to open it up now. We've got a few minutes here. Don't let everybody jump out there at one time. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, let's not forget our baptism now. So we're not that old man. We're the new man. And there's a certain place, I think it's in Peter, where he compares baptism to the circumcision of your heart, to examine your heart, to study to show yourself approved, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation and righteousness are together, just like it says in Romans 1:16-17. You know, the righteous shall live by faith. In him we live, move, and have our being. For living is the word of God, and active. It's in us. It's active in us. We were given this privilege to have this word in us, to live on this word.
because he called us to it. And we should be faithful to it. And the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from the evil one. You know, right there, that's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But just before that, he says a verse there. I don't want to say what it says there because it says not all people have faith. So don't let that destroy your, it's when you read that and you get to the 3:3, he's saying that the Lord is faithful. And Jesus told you to have the Lord's faith and to have boldness in him, access and confidence unto his faith. Ephesians 3:12.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I believe it's 1 John 1:7 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, that's what makes us righteous too. You know, it's by faith we're righteous. We're counted righteous by our faith, but we need to confess our sins and repent and turn from them. So, yeah, 1:9. Thanks, Stu.
Amen. Anybody else? Denny? Anybody else? Does that help, Will?
It's good stuff. I'm going to download the recording of tonight and then go through it. I've got a question. Let's say I'm a drug addict, right? Which is considered an abomination, and it's going to take a couple of years. Let's say there's a hidden unforgiveness and rejection issues. It's going to take a couple of years for the Lord to bring it up and out. You know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. Let's say I'm in the early stages and I'm still falling back unwillingly. Let's say every week or so. Am I then still considered righteous? I don't know if you...
Well, I didn't understand the question, but maybe somebody else can. Are you talking about if you're sinning, are you still sanctified? Is that what you said?
You know, what I'm saying is, let's say I just started out with the Lord, let's say, okay, for a year, and I'm falling back regularly. Let's take an abomination like a drug addiction, for instance. Mm-hmm. I'm falling back quite regularly, not willfully, because there's still some dormant, let's say the unforgiveness and rejection is the reasons for it, but the Lord hasn't revealed that to me. It would be a very bad thing to sort of like move away from the Lord now. I still have to consider myself righteous by faith, right? To stay with the Lord now for you to do all the cleansing. So I don't know if I'm expressing what I want to say.
I believe I understand.
Let's say I'm a drug addict, still a drug addict, not willfully, but I've got faith. Am I considered to be a righteous person to receive these blessings? You know what I'm saying?
Amen. Let's see what Tim says. Go ahead, Tim.
There we go. It will, you know, David's taught on this, you know, quite a bit. One of the things that really struck out to me early on and later on too, as you learn more about it, that you're, you know, you're like a child to God. And if you stumble and fall, he doesn't hold that against you. As long as you get back up and keep progressing on and going after the goal, you stumble again, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off and you proceed on, and you know, you try and do better next time. But as long as you're moving forward, you know, the Lord's going to be with you, and He's going to help you because you're moving in faith, and he'll honor that faith, and he'll work with you. And so you can't condemn yourself because you tripped and fell. You got to just get up and dust yourself off and keep going and not be condemned by it.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I remembered David also bringing up Romans chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably the early days of the Apostle Paul when he was just a first believer. And what it comes to is at the end of that chapter, you can see that the Lord is actually seeing that this person is against the sin, but he's still in it. So the Lord suddenly comes on your side to be against the sin also, and he'll help you with that. That's how it was explained to me, that the Lord will come on your side against his sin. Because, you know, the Lord in heaven, he can look down and see one of his children there and say, there's a potential for that person to do a sin, to be unforgiven. And he's going to test that. And if he fails, he's going to repent, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. But once he gets the understanding of this chapter in Romans chapter 7 and how it finishes so well for the man or the sinner, you know, then the Lord comes on your side to fight against that demon and give you the authority to cast it out. That's as best as I can put it, I guess.
Amen. That's pretty good. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Stephen. Oh, no, that's not a hand. Is that a hand?
I didn't raise a hand. I'm just looking in Zechariah where the Lord takes off the filthy garments and gives them clean garments and a clean mitre. So same thing, you know, same idea. So I'm just reading scriptures on the screen next to it. We got two screens here, so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Well, that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. Oh, I got a question for y'all. Do y'all want to continue this or do the praise and worship Thursday night? This is pretty important to me. Uh-oh, that message she's wanting to sing. What about everybody else? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do a little bit of both? That sound all right to everybody? Because I believe this is real important at this time. We're coming into this place of where this plague is starting to ramp up pretty good. And we'll be looking at it right square in the head here shortly. So maybe we can do both. We'll try that. Well, Father, we thank you again for helping us out, Lord, with this God's vaccine. Lord, let it be in our heart. Let it get in our hearts, Lord. And thank you for the faith that you've given us. Thank you for all that you give us, Lord, because everything comes from you. There's nothing that we've done. Every bit of it comes. The faith comes from you. The wherewithal comes from you. The word comes from you. It all comes from you, Lord. And so if we keep our eyes on you all the time, if we keep our eyes in the word, on the word, and with the word, Lord, that we'll be fine. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in all of our hearts to study, to show ourselves approved by your word, Lord. Not only that, when we do the word, I remember David talking about all his drugs were sitting on the shelf after he got in the word. And once he got in the word, the drugs went by the wayside. And next thing he knew, he was completely free of it. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for all of your brothers and sisters out there that might be a problematic for them as drugs. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your delivering power. We thank you, Lord, for your all that you do, your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and shows us how you want us to work this this great Psalms 91 in our lives, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep, that we'll get up in the morning supernaturally supercharged, ready to go and do your work, Lord. And we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and my brothers and sisters out there. In Jesus' name, we love you. And we're always praising you, Father, because you're worthy of our praises. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Bless y'all.